Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We now come to the closing instruction in Romans chapter 12, which, as most of you will remember, is the first chapter of the so-called practical section of the book of Romans. And practical it is, as well as soul-searching. Someone has called this the Apostle Paul's Sermon on the Mount, because there really are many similarities between what Paul says here and what Christ taught in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. As a matter of fact, some of Christ's more difficult statements in the Sermon on the Mount are here in Romans chapter 12, explained and clarified to some degree. Now, this instruction takes three verses, which makes it longer than most of the others, many of which were only a phrase of three or four words, sometimes three commands in one verse, three separate and different commands in one verse. But here we have a rather extended instruction that takes up verses 19, 20, and 21, and it is expanding on the teaching of how Christians are to respond to those who injure us, actually taking what was previously taught in this chapter a little bit further, and furnishing some additional reasons why Christians should not retaliate in response to injury. The first statement was verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. That was one of those short statements that only took up half a verse. The last half of verse 17 moved on to a different subject. So the first introduction of this instruction was a rather typical one for Romans chapter 12, where we find just a series of staccato, punctuated imperatives as to how Christians are to live their Christian life. But now picking up that one, repay no one evil for evil, Paul says in verse 19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In these three verses, there are basically two primary exhortations, and they are very simple. Number one, Christians should not seek personal revenge. And number two, Christians should do good in return for evil. First of all, Christians should not seek personal revenge. And the reason is because vengeance belongs to God. Verse 19 again. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Is there any difference between what Paul says in verse 19 and what he said earlier in verse 17 when he said, repay no one evil for evil? Well, if there is any difference at all, it is simply that in verse 19, Paul may have a larger offense in mind. He may have been thinking more about petty things in verse 17. No tit for tat, no petty retaliation, but now major things. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. God is the one who is able to bring appropriate vengeance, or we might call it revenge, upon evildoers. Now let's define some important terms in order to understand what is said to us by the Spirit of God. What is justice? Justice is dispensing what is due. What is vindication? Vindication is exoneration from a false accusation. If somebody accuses me falsely and I am tried, say, before a court of law, and all of the evidence is examined, and I am pronounced not guilty, I have been vindicated. I have been exonerated from a false accusation. What is vengeance? Vengeance is avenge or revenge. It is exact justice in the form of a penalty. It is punishment of one who has injured another. It is a full meeting out of justice to all parties. And if it is carried out righteously, it is not evil, it is good. Vengeance can be, and ought to be, a good thing. It is simply the carrying out of justice. Justice is dispensing what is due. What is judgment? Judgment is determining guilt and is assigning and executing appropriate penalties. There are really three parts of judgment. Number one, determining guilt. Number two, assigning punishment. And number three, executing punishment. All of that is involved in the concept of judgment. Now, with those four terms in mind, justice, vindication, vengeance, and judgment, let us go back and examine the text before us in verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Looking at the text, we see that it starts with a tender appeal. Paul is writing by the Spirit of God to Christians that he calls dearly beloved. No doubt, Paul recognizes that what he's going to say here is extremely difficult to obey. Not all of God's requirements are equally difficult. Some are relatively easy, though none of them come natural to the unconverted man. But for a child of God with the Spirit of God, many of God's requirements are not burdensome, they're not difficult, but some are difficult, at least more difficult than others. And no doubt this is one of them, and that's why Paul begins by making this tender appeal. Dearly beloved, he says, avenge not yourselves. And that's a very clear command. It is unequivocal. There is to be no personal revenge for the children of God, but, he says, rather, give place to wrath. And in that particular phrase, he does not specify whose wrath. Give place to wrath, or unto the wrath. And the question, therefore, is, whose wrath is he talking about? Is he talking about the wrath of someone who's done you wrong? In other words, give place to wrath by letting it run its course. Let it spin out. Let it run its course and lose its energy. Just get out of the way and let it do what it's going to do. Or is he talking about your wrath? Rather give place unto wrath, that is. Let all your wrath out. Don't hold on to it. Common advice in our day, the way to get rid of frustration is to vent it. So is that what Paul is saying? Vent your wrath. Spend it by blowing off steam in a harmless way rather than seeking revenge. Or is he talking about the wrath of the magistrate, the civil authority that is committed with the responsibility of carrying out justice? Is he saying, give place to human justice? Don't take vengeance into your own hands, but rather give way to the wrath of the magistrate and let him carry out civil justice. Let him carry out the terms of the law. Or is he talking about God's wrath? Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to God's wrath. Because God is the one who can judge properly. In other words, wrath, vengeance, is prohibited to us not because it's intrinsically wrong, for vengeance is simply justice, exacting justice in the form of a penalty. But it is prohibited to us not because it is intrinsically wrong, it is not evil, because evil itself deserves to be punished and will be, but because that's God's prerogative, not ours. God reserves to himself the right to rain down vengeance, that is, the exactation of justice upon the evildoer. And the verse goes on to say, for it is written. For it is written. Let me read it all again. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And that's a quote from Deuteronomy 32, verse 35. It is written. That means, of course, that this is an established principle. This is nothing new. Sometimes we have statements in the New Testament scriptures that have never been written or presumably even spoken before, though maybe they have been and have not been recorded. We would have no way of knowing that unless the Spirit of God told us in one way or another, and occasionally we have something like that. Paul has a couple of statements where he says, the Lord said this, the Lord taught that. We don't find that recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, but obviously Christ said a lot of things that were not recorded by the gospel writers. In fact, John even says that plainly, that there were many other things that Jesus said and did that are not recorded in this book. And so sometimes we find in the epistles something that Jesus said that was not written in the gospels, but is now written in the epistles. And so we're thankful to have additional testimony to what Christ said. But this is a lot older than that. It is written, that is written in the Old Testament scriptures. This was stated by the Spirit of God back in Moses' day. It's quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 32. And it tells us even there, back then, that vengeance is an assigned responsibility that has been reserved to God himself. In fact, it is a guaranteed justice. God says, I will repay. Vengeance is mine. I reserve the right to carry out vengeance. That is exact justice in the form of a penalty, punishment of the one who has injured another, the full meting out of justice to all guilty parties. Vengeance, God says, is mine. I will repay. God said it. God promises it. God guarantees it. And this is a long-established principle. Now, what does this say in regard to this teaching? Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Well, what it really boils down to is, do we trust God or not? Because ultimately, we must trust God to protect us from evildoers and to deal with them justly. And when we take vengeance into our own hands, in essence, what we are saying is, we don't believe God. We don't trust God to do it. We don't trust God to carry out appropriate punishment. We don't think that he's going to execute justice, to carry out appropriate punishment. We doubt God's word. That's not a very good thing for a child of God to be guilty of, is it? We better believe God and act accordingly. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.